Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And we are on the air. Thanks for tuning in. We're glad you're with us tonight. And the first person I want to talk to is Sue Wagner, who's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on with the One Institute and Dr. Pat Allen. Sue, are you there?
I'm here. We've got, for the people that live in the Southern California area, we have our life script classes still going on. I've added another dream class Saturday, April 29th. And I have a Getting to I Do class coming up March 18th. I have two openings in that class. And we have our monthly seminars in LA and Orange County. Please sign up to be on our newsletter at www.drpatallen.com. That's DrPatAllen. I send out a monthly newsletter with all the updated information. So if you're on the newsletter and when you click it through, you have to confirm your address before any I can send any newsletters to you. You have to verify that it'll come through a click link. And I am having a webinar tonight. I have just a couple of spots open. So if you sign up before 5:30, I'll send you the invitation. You can go to the website, www.wantistore.com, and register. And once it's full, it will be closed where no more registration. Other than that, that's all I got going on. And Dr. Allen can maybe describe more about her dream class, the Getting to I Do, and the life script.
Terrific. Well, Pat, we're on the air. Do you have any input about those classes?
Well, I like Claude Steiner's book, Scripts People Live. Scripts are the scenarios that parents, churches, politicians drill into our brains before we're 3 years old. And so what I do in the script class is I ask people about 20 questions, which hopefully gives me a direction to tell them that they're going in that direction, and did they want to? For example, do they want to do good or do they want to feel good in life? And they say, I want both. Oh, well, the problem with being both is it's narcissistic. Now, the dream class, it goes to the subconscious, because when you dream, all dreams are good. The way that the dreams show up may be scary, but the dream means you well, and it tells you a message, especially if you dream the same dream over and over again. So what I do is help you read your subconscious mind. And just for those that might take it, please don't open your eyes early in the morning until you look at your dream screen. Because if you open your eyes, it turns it around, and you're back up in the real world. So have a pad or a phone and copy down the scenes that you see before you get out of bed, period. And Getting to I Do is basically we get together to see how you are hunting as a man or as a woman. Now, since we're both man and woman, I teach both sides in front of people in order that they decide how they want to hunt for a mate. So I find them very interesting. I love doing them. I'm still excited about doing them. So if somebody wants me to do them, please buy me.
Wonderful. So we have a question, and it's actually a really cool question.
Oh, we've got a caller.
Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hello, thank you. Yes, I'd love to ask a question. First of all, I would like to thank Dr. Allen for helping me with a relationship I had, and it didn't go anywhere, but that's fine.
I got news for you. It was a muscle builder for the real one.
Yes, definitely. That's why I'm calling today. I think we might have a real one.
That's good.
Yes, and I would like to ask about that. A gentleman has met me. He lives in the States. I live in Greece. He's very, very successful. And there are many, many differences, but there is a very strong chemistry between us.
That's good.
I really need your help with this because I don't
know
really
what area. What do you want me to assist you in?
Okay, so he has asked what it would take for us to have intercourse, and I have asked for an engagement ring because I
you
don't
know
have
what?
Family.
More power to you. You could ask for just an oral agreement. You could ask for a promise ring, and you can definitely ask for an engagement ring. And in some religions and cultures, you have to be legally married in order to have that. So what's your comfort zone? An engagement ring. Is that right?
Right now, yes. Also, I don't know if it's very important, but he's Indian. Okay, so he's from that culture.
You mean East Indian or American?
He lives in America. He works there he has been working there for many years.
But is he East Indian? Is he from India?
He's from Pakistan, I think.
Oh, he's from Pakistan. Okay,
yes.
Those are all over there. So what's that got to do with anything?
No, I'm just saying because we have a cultural difference. I don't know if this is important.
It's very important. You have a dialect. Where are you from?
Greece.
You're from Greece. Okay.
Yes, yes.
So Greece is a multicultural, unit. So have you already dated him?
I'm sorry?
How long have you dated him?
Okay, we've only been like in 5 or 6 dates, but he's coming again in March. And he's calling me all the time. He's texting me. He keeps the communication. We can communicate. And he's also looking for marriage.
He's asking for intercourse. And for women, how old are you?
I'm 34.
You are still gushing estrogen. And anybody that's gushing estrogen, which is young women and older men, over 50, 60 men, bond physically, like addictively. So I support you in telling him, I am not willing to have intercourse, oral, anal, or vaginal, without an engagement ring and a tentative wedding date.
He knows that. That's what I wanted to ask you. I don't want to waste time. He's coming in March, and he has hinted that he might propose. So do I negotiate everything, like time, space?
What do you negotiate?
I've read your book.
What do you want, to negotiate in Chapter 14?
Yes,
you want to
should
negotiate
I move forward?
Time, space,
now, if he proposes,
money,
or is
play.
It too early?
What?
Everything. If he proposes, do I negotiate or is it too early? What do you suggest?
I've got news for you. You can get engaged just because you're getting engaged. It has no legal repercussions. I don't approve of weddings, legal weddings, for 1 year of relating.
Yes, I remember that. So should I negotiate with him if he proposes and we talk about the wedding date?
No, because you're getting engaged, not married.
Okay. Should I ask for a wedding date or not?
You should say,
if he actually proposes.
I want an engagement. He's asked, I want to have intercourse with you. And you say, I'd love to make love with you, but my conditions are for me to feel comfortable taking a risk on falling in love. Mine is an engagement ring and a tentative, what
tentative.
Year
Great.
Do I want to be married in?
Great. Okay. And then I move to what you write in Chapter 14 because I have your book and I've read it. And we like negotiate.
Mm-hmm. You negotiate and go to chapter 14 in getting to I do, because the directions are right there. You negotiate time, I, we, and us. You negotiate mm-hmm. where you live. You negotiate money, mine, yours, and ours. You negotiate mm-hmm. play, non-sexual mm-hmm. play, and sexual play.
Thank you so much. Can I ask a very another question, because I think it's important?
Why not?
Thank you so much. He hasn't had a mother figure in his life. His mother died when he was very, very young, and then he was raised up to 3 years old from his aunt, I think. And then
from where? But wait a minute. Died. Who raised him?
His father, primarily.
And the father never dated, never married anybody?
He dated, but he never remarried. They have a very, very strong relationship. I mean, they are very. He has a very good relationship with his father, but he doesn't have a mother figure in his life.
No grandmas, no aunts?
No. He had his aunt, and she also died.
Well, how old was he? How old was he when she died?
3. She raised him. His mom died when he was around 1 year old.
Here's what I, okay, mm-hmm. I want you to understand that if mm-hmm. we can get to the age of 3, I always try to keep families together till the littlest one is 3, because that's when the little one can start to negotiate. So if he had a mother for a while and he had an aunt for a while, he's probably got his script. And if he's a nice man, they did a good job.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The first, do you realize we are pretty well cooked by the age of 3? If I go to a preschool, I can see the bullies, I can see the whiners, and I can see the negotiators right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, I remember I've heard that a lot of times.
Well, I'm saying it to you loud and clear. I hear that he had a father that was good, and he had mm-hmm. women in his life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then I think I'm good. Thank
good.
You so much.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks, caller. Very cool call. Okay, where were we? Oh, we were going to look at a message that we got today. And let's see. Unless we get another call, we'll take
hello.
It. Oh, we've got a caller. Good caller. You have a question for Dr. Allen?
I do. Thank you. Thank you. A couple of weeks ago, okay. You made a comment.
Yes, I'm
sorry,
sure
that
I
deleted.
Did.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to close the...
Your radio is on.
I know. I'm trying to close it. I'm sorry. My phone locked. Okay, there.
There it
okay,
goes.
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, you mentioned that you're chemically attracted. There's chemistry between you and a person where you need to learn to grow. I mean, I'm not
oh,
saying
no.
it quite...
What I say is... We fall in love with people that are going to bring us the lesson we need to grow.
Yeah, really? Can you elaborate on that a little bit? That's very interesting.
Say, for example, you as a woman had a father that wasn't very cherishing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What kind of a father did you have?
He was not cherishing, by the way.
Oh, okay. I'm ESP. Then you're going to be very susceptible to becoming sexual with a man prematurely.
Yep, that's my problem.
But do you understand how it comes about? You're hungry for affection and touching. You know, there's a wonderful book, The Five Languages of Love.
Mm-hmm.
And that language is usually the part in you, personality-wise, that needs to be developed. So chemistry is not only DNA, which is physical. The man is a little like your dad's chemistry and a little not like. If he's too much like your dad's, he's not eligible. if he's not a little bit like your dad, he's foreign. He's not eligible either. Chemistry is designed by nature so that we always expand our cellular development by having somebody that's going to bring something, you know, like you don't want a bad puppy mill where there's right. too much infestation of bad cells. So the same goes for psychological. We are attracted to people that stimulate the feelings that may have been painful, but they seem to bring us resolution, and we can, in fact, fall in love with them and have to learn the lesson that we didn't get when we were younger.
Hmm.
That's scripting.
So coming to your scripting class would be good to get rid of that, you know, need for physical attention and affection.
Well, no, it isn't a need for it. It's how to set boundaries. I just had a caller, and the man, they have a long-distance relationship, and the man is asking what it would take to have intercourse, because men love to ejaculate in women's bodies. Mouth, anus, vagina. Period. Okay? And so I told her, you know, find out if he's willing to get engaged, which is like going into escrow to buy a house. You see?
Mm-hmm. No, it was excellent. Yeah.
And negotiate a deal that you can work with, and don't legally marry anybody for a year because you don't really know them.
Yeah, I don't know what my problem is. I'm not able to somehow say that, although that's exactly what I would want, or even more.
Well, the fact that you don't have the ability to say it means you have to attract men that you have to say it to. You don't say it, you suffer pain, and your nervous system flares up, and you have to go to a therapist and learn how to say it.
All righty. It's true. That's why I'm following you.
I'm a transactional analyst. All I do is move words around to help you get what you want or get rid of what you don't want.
Yeah. No, you're good. I've been following you for years. I adore your, and I've been following it, but I just can't seem to say the right thing. You know, I mean, I know what you tell us.
But have you been attracted to men that you needed to say it to?
Yes. I mean, there's...
And the relationship fell apart.
Yes.
When are you going to learn how to say it?
Well, I had one successful one that I did, but that one, you know, we're not together, but he wasn't legally divorced yet. He was still married, so I had a problem with that, and I kept, but he was very respectful and honored what I wanted and kept coming back.
Is it not true your mom and dad were married?
My parents were married, but they divorced when I was 10.
I fully understand that. It's the fact they were together when you were 3.
Yes.
Do you understand? People go with married people because they learned their script from married people.
Really?
Well, mom and dad are the ones that script you.
Oh. Interesting.
It's like having a pit bull, but have it chained to the wall.
You think that I was with this gentleman because I was learning how to de-script myself from the past?
Yes, dear. We call it reparenting.
Reparenting. Oh, well,
yes. It
was, but it seems, I don't know, then I get weak, and I don't know. It's just not
darling.
Good.
No, you go back to being a daughter instead of a woman.
Interesting. Well, thank you. I mean, if you want to elaborate, I love hearing what you have to say. I don't know what else to ask about it.
Well, see if you want to read the book by Claude Steiner, Scripts People Live.
Scripps people live? Okay, thanks.
He just died a couple weeks ago.
All right.
He was a big figure in TA, transactional analysis. Helped Eric Burns set it up.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I checked out
good.
A lot
good.
Of your books. They're really good. Thank you so much,
good.
Dr.
Sure.
Allen. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Well, we're really getting some great calls tonight.
That is good. I like that.
Yeah, it is good. It definitely is. It's great, too, that she's sort of looking inside of herself and seeing what's going
Hello.
On.
Hello.
Caller,
Hello.
You're on with Dr. Allen.
Hi, guys. I'm sorry. I'm actually shopping, so bear me no attention because I'm talking a little low. But, yeah, I have a question for you guys. Dr. Allen, are you there?
Yeah,
Do you guys
I'm here.
Hear me? Oh, okay.
Yes,
no, I'm sorry.
Here.
I'm in a store, so I don't know if the phone was going out. So anyway, I'm in a relationship fairly new with a guy. It's been about 2 months now. And the problem is...
Committed? Are you monogamous, continuous,
yes.
and long-term?
Yes, we are. The problem
Are you
is
aiming for marriage, or are you just aiming for mating experience?
No, we're aiming for marriage. He
okay.
has mentioned already that he wants a serious relationship. The problem is he's a workaholic, and I don't know how to address that without coming across as needy. He's very successful. He travels a lot for work, and outside of work, it's also travel for public speaking engagements as well as philanthropy stuff.
If you were married to him, would you negotiate going with him?
Yes, I would. And that's what I... But
well,
it's still new. It's only
been
2 months.
How long have you been dating him?
Only 2 months. That's the problem. So I don't know
okay.
if I should say something now or what I should do because
no,
it kind of bothers
wait
me.
For, no, wait for 6 months. I want you to demonstrate faithfulness, loyalty, and... passive, patient, and vulnerable to his leadership so that he feels safe enough to have you as a team member. The first 3 months are perfect. People fake it. The second 3 months is when the irritating things come out. Well, you're just about to enter that part. So, the second 3 months. So I would recommend that you basically demonstrate passive, patient, and vulnerable until you get to 6 months, and then you say something like, I want to talk to you about our relationship. Is it convenient? Yeah. I really have appreciated the 6 months we've had together, but I get lonely for you, and I would feel really better if I were engaged to you and could do more traveling with you so that we would have continuity.
Wow, but to bring up the word engaged, I think that's a bit pushing it. Like, I don't want to come across saying that first, you know?
I got it to you.
Then
wait a year to say it. Do you want to wait till you're so mad you want to kill him?
No, and that's the thing. He tells me, he's like, you know, he wants a committed relationship. And I was, not committed, he wants to get married eventually. And I was like, well, why hasn't it happened? And he was like, because most girls he's dated can't deal with his hectic schedule and the fact that he travels a lot and works a lot. So I've been trying to be cool with it. But
I got news for you. At 6 months, why not get hot with engagement?
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Because you're going to get hot with anger.
True.
You're
that
going
is
to
true.
Ruin it with your crabbiness.
Right, and that's why I wanted to ask you about the negotiating thing. Like, I
that's
read the book, and
you
I
make
know.
An appointment. Chapter 14 in the book will tell you how to do it. And what you do is make an appointment with him to negotiate the particles of a relationship contract. That's the chapter 14.
Right, and I've read the book like 3 times.
I got it for you. Do you remember time, space, money, and play?
Yeah, but I never really understood fully how to come out and say it outside of making the appointment, which I know, but to say then, you know, I enjoy spending time with you, like I want to spend more time with you, is that kind of
Not
how you negotiate?
Time. That's true. I want to go once a month with you on one of your business trips. or twice a month? How many times do you want to go?
It doesn't matter. Twice a month, I guess.
All right.
Yeah.
What you could do is negotiate precisely, not secretively, and without judgment, to negotiate the boundaries of your relationship as you're engaged.
Okay. And then I guess my last question.
What?
Then is, I want to figure out how not to come across as like I don't need him, because, you know, I have my own business. He knows that, but it's kind of like a black and white thing in terms of like, how do I let him know I still need him? Like, obviously he makes much more money than I do, but when he knows that I have my business, he kind of thinks, oh, okay, she's good, even though I would still like to leave it open to where, I don't know how to say it, but like, to where it's not coming across,
know,
like, okay, she's a business.
There
yeah.
are three forms of relationship: convenient, in which you both throw in money in the pot; codependency, that's where one person takes care of the money and pays the bills. And then there's a covenant, where there's an agreement that one person will not be working and one person will be working to pay the bills for the couple. So what kind of relationship?
I would like the covenant.
Do you want a career woman or a woman with a career?
A woman with a career. Like, every time we go out, he pays for everything, which is great.
I
like,
know
I haven't
that.
Paid for
That's
anything.
Beautiful.
But I just, yeah, I would just want to make it a little bit more clear,
I want you to decide how much time you want to travel with him. You see? So you don't get mad at him.
Right. No, I don't know. I just feel like maybe I mean, and I don't think it'll be a problem to travel together. We're just not sleeping together because I told him I want to wait till I'm married to have sex. So.
Okay. And he's okay with that? All right.
Yes, he is.
That's fine.
So
that's fine.
That's, yeah. Okay. Well, I won't say anything. That was mainly my thing. I'll just go with the flow.
From the idea of what you don't want.
Right.
I don't want to be alone so much. Therefore, I want to go with you on a weekend trip or something.
Right, right. No, I get it. I just want to kind of figure out how to... I don't want him to think that I'm so independent. I guess that's the word, because I know I could come across as very independent.
You come across independent because you don't ask for what you want and say no to what you don't want.
True, but at the same time, how do you
know you? Do you realize you're so scripted to be afraid to take care of yourself that you're not doing it?
But that's the thing. I do take care of myself, but I would like to let him know that he can also offer too.
Wait,
I don't want to come out and say,
wait a minute. You took take care of yourself as independence. I didn't do that. Taking care of yourself, which means how much time together, how much money do you want, how much attention, what kind of sex. It's to negotiate the things that are important.
Right, but I think what I'm trying to say is I take care of myself in the sense of I pay my bills and buy groceries and da-da-da-da.
You know what?
But
as soon as I ask you what you want as a woman, you say, oh, I don't want anything as a woman. I just take care of myself financially.
But I don't want to. That's the thing. And I don't know how to broach that subject with him.
would you please tell him how much time you want to be with him? What you want to be.
Okay.
Please put your needs out there, but make an appointment to do so.
But if I tell a man I basically want him to take care of me, doesn't that come off as a gold digger? Especially to someone that's successful.
I've got news for you. You said, I want him to take care of me, which means I don't want to have a career. I want to be in a covenant relationship.
Yes. Yes, I would like that. I would like,
all right. Well, then why don't you just negotiate a covenant relationship? I want to be with a man who wants me to be his aide-de-camp, to go with him, to support him in what he's doing. But you don't say, I want a man to take care of me financially.
Right. That's what I was saying. I didn't know how to phrase that. or even approach the subject.
I want to be in a covenant relationship in which we are together. And that means I go with you when you go on to work.
Right, because I know he wouldn't know what covenant means. He doesn't study your teaching, so he wouldn't know.
He doesn't need it. Yeah. It was a legal choice, but please ask for your feminine needs.
I will. Thank you, and I'm going to listen to this again so I can really sink in.
Good. And when you get your needs written down, call back and run them by me.
Will do. That's what I think I'm going to do today. So basically write everything down that I want from him. And I'll wait before I obviously
want,
tell him.
What you don't
right.
want.
Gotcha.
Women
yeah, I know
get
we get what we want.
By knowing what they don't want.
Exactly.
Men get what they want by having the chutzpah to ask for it.
Absolutely. No, I get it. Sounds good, guys. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
You.
Bye.
Okay, have a good night. Bye-bye.
You too.
We had a little extra music there on the radio from our caller being in the store. Okay, well, it looks like we've got more calls coming in, which is wonderful. Let me see here if they are going to hook us up. While we're waiting real quick, my boyfriend and I are thinking the same things, all finishing each other's
sentence.
Oh, there's our caller. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Hello. Hi, Dr. Allen. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
So, this is my question. You tell us that when the gentleman is on a date with us, then we don't ask questions and let them ask us questions?
We don't interview men. We let them interview us.
Yes, and how many dates am I supposed to do that for? When can I start asking him questions?
I would hope to shout that he would. Men have a tendency to brag about what they do, where they go, what they have. You see, why don't you just let him tell you who he is?
Okay.
Now, you have the right to know if you want to marry, if you want a mate. You have a right to want to know what his financial situation is, if he proposes to you. Things open up in the year of getting to know him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But if you're interviewing him as if he's applying for the job of being your wife, then you can ask him all kinds of questions.
No, don't do that.
All right. Then why don't you just wait for him to ask you for what he wants, and then you tell him yes or no.
Okay. So, a gentleman was on a date with me a few days ago, and he said something interesting. I did ask him a few questions. So I think we went on four dates.
What did you ask him? I want to hear what you did when you interviewed him.
Oh, gosh. He talked about his job, and I would ask questions about that. So I was asking questions about what he was already telling me, it was more like a polite thing.
Asking about his job is not significant. Why did you get a divorce? Are you dating anybody else? You see, when you start interviewing him for marriage, you're the man.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no, I never did that.
All right.
So asking questions that aren't really related to that is
intimate. And answer all of his questions honestly.
Okay.
Why aren't you married? Because I've been a career woman and I wasn't ready to marry.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm. This guy who was on date with me, he said something strange. He said, I don't understand you, but I like it.
You know what he's saying? He's saying that you're enigmatic and mystical.
That's what I wanted to ask you. I was like, did I reach that status?
I want you to know what he's saying is he likes it that you can think and feel at the same time. Women have larger bridges between the two lobes in the brain. So do left-handed men. So do ambidextrous men, and so do biologically gay men. So we girls can talk to them very easily, like Clinton, like McCain, like Obama. They have brains that are like our brains, which means they can put their feelings and their thoughts together. You see? So were you interviewing him about his private life?
No.
What were you interviewing?
No. I wasn't really interviewing. I was just, because I felt so strange not asking him anything. So I think it was a few days before he was trying to explain to me what he did for work. And it's something
Fine. Like, I love you asking him about his work job. That's nothing. It's about his private life.
Oh, yeah. No. I didn't ask about that. Another question that I had, what do you think about going on trips together? Because another man that's dating me, my number one out of, well, now two, he offered to go to Hawaii, and I think it's a little early for that.
Why?
Well, an overnight trip, I mean, like for a whole week, I have not had intercourse with him. And I told him that.
I want you to hear this. When a man asks you to go on a trip, let's go to Vegas for the weekend. That's a favorite one. A man asks you to go, but your job is to say, I really would enjoy going with you on a trip, but I must tell you that I don't have casual sex, and that if you want to have intercourse, I'm not the right person. I'm willing to travel with you. I'm even willing to sleep in the same bed. I'll take a shower with you. But I'm not having intercourse until I'm in a long-term, marriage-bound, monogamous, continuous relationship.
Okay. I already told him that. But, well, I mean, we did have sex. We just had no penetration.
Wait a minute. Sex is everything you taste, touch, smell, see, and hear. You're having sex with him when you're with him. I'm talking about intercourse.
Yeah.
Penile insertion in your mouth, blowjobs are intercourse. Hand jobs are not. Anal sex, vaginal sex, these are intercourse.
Got it. All right. So I'll just tell him that and then see what he says.
Yes.
But as far as going, well, another thing that I kind of felt, because I used one of your tools and I said, oh, well, that's not something that's in my budget right now. Were you planning to pay for it? And he said,
that's beautiful. What?
Yeah, thank you. And he said, yes, that's no problem. But then I don't even know. We've been on several days together. I still have my married boyfriend. And I mean, I don't talk to him anymore at all. But it's still, you know, I'm still the what do you call it?
You're a mistress.
Detoxing.
You're a
mistress. I'm detoxifying from him. Well, I was, not anymore. I haven't heard his voice in 3 months. So
yes, I hear you're bonding loyalty. Your body's still married to him.
Yeah, probably.
Well, do you want to get over him? Then go on a trip with your new boyfriend.
Okay. Well, that's a great idea, if you put it like that. Okay.
There are policemen on boats. There are policemen in every city in the world. So rape is not acceptable anywhere.
Oh, that's not my concern with him at all. He would never. I mean, he's such a nice...
All right.
I want you to know,
why can't you travel with him? Why not?
Well, I just thought, like, well, he's going to spend all this money, and I don't even know if I'm going to, you know, he's going to become my boyfriend after.
So you don't like you. You're not worthy.
Yeah. What?
You got a pretty stinky script there, lady.
I do. I know. I'm working on it. We worked on it. It's much better now.
Why don't you pretend you like you?
Okay.
All right?
All right. Will do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Well, that was a really good one, too, because that's a question that comes up a lot. If he wants to take you on a trip and he's going to pay for the trip, does that mean you're beholden to him to reciprocate with sex? And that's a question.
No, you're not, but you have to tell him that before you go.
We've got a caller, Dr. Allen. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. I wanted what to know. I wanted to know if you wait the 8 weeks to write a letter of amends.
No, honey. You write it when you feel it and keep it till the right time occurs.
Okay.
Now, you said a letter of amends. You write a letter of amends as soon as you're aware you made a mistake. A hi-bye okay. letter is done at the end of 8 weeks of him dumping you and you wanting to let him know what you thought and feel about the relationship. Did okay. you make a mistake in a relationship?
I did.
Okay. An amends letter is, I want to leave you, I want to give you this letter because I realized I made a mistake and I want to tell you about it. So then you tell okay. him what you made the mistake on.
Okay.
But a hi-bye letter is different.
Okay. Is there anything else in the body of the letter of amends that you put? Or just basically
what,
that?
In an amends? No, it's just you're making an apology for making a mistake that endangered the relationship.
Okay.
If you want, you call somebody like me and read it to me.
Okay.
Okay.
And you keep it short versus yes, four or five paragraphs.
It's yeah. No, that's a high buy.
Okay. Okay.
That's
good.
Okay.
Okay. Good. I'm glad I called. Thank you.
Good.
Bye bye.
Okay.
Thanks, caller. Okay, so we have a couple that are finishing each other's thoughts and thinking a lot alike. And the person who writes the message wants to know if that's because they're so in tune with each other.
Yes, of course. They're compatible.
So can you explain that phenomenon, Dr. Allen? You just mentioned ESP earlier tonight. So...
it's temperament. I'd be more than willing. There is a test called the Myers-Briggs temperament test. And I was in the class. I was in the division at Cal State Fullerton when I was getting my master's degree with Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey. They wrote the following books. Marilyn and David wrote Please Understand Me. That was the first book based on the Myers-Briggs. But mm-hmm. then David Kiersey came up after Marilyn died and wrote Please Understand Me, number 2. And that one has compatibility factors. It has a whole section of what different temperaments can do with and for each other. So when you're compatible with somebody temperamentally, you know, like Virgos go with so-and-so or anyway, if you're temperamentally suited to each other, you think and speak pretty much the same way. But that's a temperament test and you can read the books. You can take the test.
Oh, we've got a caller, Dr. Allen.
All right.
Kelly, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen. My question
Hello.
Is around the biochemistry behind shopping. And I've noticed that I may not need anything.
The biochemistry
yeah.
is dopamine.
Oh.
Money, sex, anytime. Money, sex, and that includes gambling, criminality. Produces chemistry dopamine, which is a high. Do you see?
So you get like kind of like I notice when I get home from shopping or back in the car, I'm perked up. You know, I'm like wide awake.
I understand. You're hyped up on dopamine. Now, here's the problem. Okay. If you're like a hoarder or you're right. a spendthrift, you go past the dopamine into a bummer norepinephrine. Oh, why did I spend all that money?
Right. You see, so how do we break that cycle?
First of all, there's Debtors Anonymous. It's a division of Alcoholics Anonymous that helps you do that. Debtors Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous.
Are there healthy ways to bring up one's dopamine?
Yeah, exercise. Produce endorphins and enkephalins. Exercise, you know, at least 3 times a week. Get those endorphins and enkephalins up. The most perfect antidepressant is exercise.
Wonderful. You know, Dr. Pat, when people play these games on their phones, there's a lot of little popular games.
I know. And you know why they do it?
Why?
They want to get the dopamine, the norepinephrine, up. They want a high.
So it's basically the same chemicals that are provided from the...
That's what it is. They're called neurotransmitters. They literally facilitate thinking. There's great books out there. We just discovered in the last 15, 20 years that the brain is not hardwired from birth, that you can change your brain. In fact, Norman Doidge wrote the book, The Brain That Changes Itself. That's book one. Then he came back and wrote the book, How the Brain Heals Itself. And I want to tell you how the brain heals itself. It makes a list of good habits, and you do it. You do your new habits until you're wired better.
Thank you for the inspiration.
Good. I just got a drink of pop.
Okay.
All right. You can tell I'm from Chicago because I drink pop.
Yeah.
Everybody else drinks soda.
Yes.
I drink pop.
All right. Well, thank you. And I'll call again. So have a great night.
You too.
Thanks, caller.
Thank.
Okay. So, Dr. Allen, what we were talking about minutes ago was the whole ESP thing. So really you were saying it's the temperament of the person.
It's a temperament. It's when compatible temperaments get together. And David Kiersey's book is extremely good in that area. He literally shows, the book is built for the work arena, but I think marriage is a work too. And so it shows, like in a temperament, if you've got somebody whose temperament is very sanguine, and they go and they're with a caloric personality, you've got a very yin-yang balance. Do you see what I mean?
I do.
They have been called caloric, melancholic, sanguine, and I don't know the next one. And that goes along with intuition, introversion, sensation. That's Myers-Briggs.
Right. Very interesting stuff.
You can go on the computer. It's on the computer.
Oh, yeah.
Google it.
I have an addiction studies course, and we've been exploring the Myers-Briggs test in that course for people who have addiction.
You can also go to Marilyn Bates and David Kiersey, who wrote Please Understand Me, books one and book two.
Excellent. So we only have a minute left. So
yes.
First thing I want to know is what you have to say to me tonight before we go.
Okay. The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments you're willing to make and keep.
Beautiful. Sue, any words from you about what we got going on? And our March dates are coming up for our... Culver City and our Newport Beach show. What days are those?
March 1st, Wednesday, is Newport Beach Community Center. And March 6th, the first Monday, March 6th, at the Courtyard Marriott in Culver City. They're 7 to 8:30. No admission.
All right, perfect. We are out of time, everyone. Thanks for tuning in with us. Thanks to Want Institute for bringing us here each and every week. We love you, and we hope you'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.